From Communications Center, the University of Texas at Austin, this is the Mexican-American Experience. These weekly programs focus on Chicano history and culture and issues concerning contemporary Mexican-American society. With this week's program, here's your host, Linda Fregoso.
My name is Antonio Rendain, director of Texas Farm Workers Union. We farm workers, the living conditions, we don't ask for nothing special. Sometimes you work in 2-3 hours, they seem supposed to be $3.35 an hour. But to avoid the $3.35, if you don't do interstate commerce, you mean you can pay $1.40. Here in Texas, the state minimum wage at Texas is $1.40. Why we have to be living in substandard conditions and not give us the chance to put price at the things I can do in my hands, and the same manner like a lawyer, that's what put price at the things I learn in college. It's so important for us to get collective bargaining rights. And that's why we plan to keep marching. We plan to keep making demonstrations.
TFW head Antonio Rendain has spent the last few months speaking before community groups all across the state of Texas, garnering support for the efforts of the Texas Farm Workers Union to obtain collective bargaining rights. Along with Rendain, other farm workers, women, children, and men join his efforts. But while the issue of collective bargaining rights is a political one, for the farm workers and their families, collective bargaining rights is a human issue, one that would improve wages and working conditions. Many farm workers in Texas have an annual income below the poverty level. They've been sprayed by insecticides, drink dirty water in the fields, and go without toilet facilities. And it is these conditions which drive women, men, and children into the picket lines, the strikes, and the boycotts, up to the floor of a state legislative session and to the front lawn of the nation's capital. John Gonzalez is 18, and he's been organizing with the farm workers since he was 12 years old. He has always been a farm worker.
Well, we had a house over here that we were buying and some land, and my mom needed our help to work so we could pay the bills over here. And that's the only reason we were working, you know, to pay the bills in the valley.
And what about school? Did you have to miss school?
Yeah, I never went to school up there. I quit school when I was in sixth grade to work in the fields. We're 12 in my family, and we were six brothers and sisters working in the field, and my mom and my stepfather. And most all of us were working, and the other ones were too small to work. They were like 4 years old and 3 years old, you know, too small. Like my mom and my sisters would take turns watching the kids, or they'd be sitting in the truck, you know, while we were working in the fields, and my mom would take like a playpen so they could be in the playpen so they wouldn't get out in the field.
Tell me about the working conditions.
When we had to go to the bathroom, we'd take off to the cornfield and go in the cornfield or kneel down in the field to go to the bathroom. Insecticides and stuff, you know, that they spray on the plants, you know, you pick without no gloves or anything, and the plane spraying next door to you, and you're getting it all over you, and you get blisters all over you from the insecticide, and you get sick, and then nobody wants to pay when you're sick. I got all blistered real bad, and I was sick for a long time, and my mom was suing the company, but nothing ever happened. They dropped the case, or they threw it out. You know, I have a little brother also that was sprayed last year, and his liver's rotting because of being sprayed with insecticide. She's suing. It's been in court for about 3 years already. You know, it happened back in 77, I think, or 78. He was sitting in the truck, and the plane was spraying across the street, and where it blew in through the window, it got all over his arm, and he breathed it in, and his pipes were all blistered up, and his inside was being infected out, you know, and and they had to rush him to a specialist in Toledo, Ohio, to get him better. You know, he from 30 some pounds he went down to about 20 some pounds. You know, he was losing a lot of weight, and he was real sick. People that don't know, you know, they even eat the fruits that are out in the field or the vegetables, and they've been just sprayed or whatever, and they get, you know, it affects you. That's why the people that work in the field only live a short life, 45, 49, 50 years old, and half of us don't even make it that far.
Because their yearly income ranges from $1,500 to $3,600, farm workers work as a family unit to survive. Their children leave school for several weeks during the harvest and work alongside their parents in the fields. Alfredo de Avila, TFW union organizer.
Children working in agriculture has become a necessity, mainly with Texans. The Texas family works as a unit simply because of the question of survival. Work is so short that during those periods of the work, the whole family works in order to supplement the income. What you're trying to do is get as many people working in the shortest period of time, therefore it makes up the salary of a worker working all year round. And in agriculture in the United States, the estimated figure by the Department of Labor itself is that there's over 100,000 children under the ages of 12 which are employed in agriculture.
Does that mean, do they go to school, or do they work during the summer, or when do they work?
A lot of these kids work whenever there's work available, whether it's in school season or not. In order to try to get away from that problem, Texas schools, of course, ends the school year early, but still you find thousands of children that travel with their families up north will be working in Washington and Oregon and Indiana and Illinois, even though school has not finished in those districts. It is a place where you will find, you know, many children, the younger ones, the 5, 6, 7-year-olds, yes, will end up going to the schools with the migrant programs, but you'll still find that a lot of the children that are sitting between the ages of 8 and 15, 16 years old will not attend any classes during that time because they're out working with their families.
You were telling me that during the onion harvest, this one, a lot of them, which is coming up soon, a lot of them don't go to school for several weeks, right?
Well, the onion harvest is a crucial harvest to the farm worker in South Texas simply because it's one of the biggest harvests that takes place, which lasts about 6 to 8 weeks, that takes place in the lower Rio Grande Valley. It is a time when most of the family members will all go out and work using spring bake and during the regular school year, because that crop is essential to the family to earn enough money to pick up those extra $200-$300, which will be needed for the family to migrate. The migrant farm worker is much better off than the farm worker who does not migrate. And so therefore, it is a crucial time of year for the families to earn some type of income so they can have the access, of course, that freedom, so they can turn around and move and migrate to other states or within the state of Texas to seek employment.
So they finance their own trips, that's what you're saying, right?
Well, no one pays for them to go. Farm workers have to finance their own trips to travel to these states and hopefully find employment while they're there.
Mm-hmm. I feel so we could then, what you're saying is also that if they paid one member of the family, let's say the father or the mother, enough money, then the children wouldn't have to work.
Well, it's a simple question of arithmetic. You're talking about families are forced to work as, you know, as an entire unit simply out of the necessity for survival. People don't take their children out to work in the fields because it's nice, because it's good. They take them out there because that income is essential to the survival of the whole family. The family works as a unit and survives as a unit. If the family's heads of the households can earn sufficient money in order for them to support their families, there would not be a need for the children to be out there.
What's the median income for a farm worker family during the year?
In the Valley of Texas, it runs between an average of $1,500 to about $3,600 a year.
And how do they supplement? I mean, how can they survive? How do they supplement that, or do they?
You supplement it on food stamps, which is, one of the programs which being threatened to be cut. Food stamps has become a matter of survival for our people. And you survive. You know, you're down on rice and beans and tortillas, and you only pay water bills. You live in colonias that are unincorporated. You live in houses that don't cost more than $2,000 to build, which are the poorest houses in the state, which 50% of them don't have, you know, toilet facilities, and many don't even have running water. It's a matter of survival, simply.
For the farm worker woman, working alongside her family is a normal routine. She labors all day in the field, under the hot sun, taking her children with her, and then she returns home to tend to her family. When the harvest is over in one field, She diligently packs her family and their necessary belongings and migrates to find work in other fields, in other parts of the nation. This has been her way of life, not by choice, but by necessity. Most farm workers have inherited their occupation from their own parents, and it becomes a vicious cycle, one in which their own children rarely have a chance to escape. Women like Josefina Castillo have been at it for years.
Es México, y nací en México, pero ya cuando nací en México, nací luchando porque mi papá fue un luchador, y a mí me encanta andar en esto. Y yo miro que a mis compañeras les pasa algo en el trabajo y pronto salgo yo adelante. Aunque yo sé que muchos de los filmenes de los de las compañías no les gusta porque siempre viven peleando conmigo, que yo soy una albuendera y esto y lo otro. Pero no le hace, yo tengo que seguir adelante luchando por mis compañeras, hablando por sí misma.
Mrs. Castillo started working in the fields when she was 10 years old. Today at 50, she spends a great deal of her time organizing other farm workers with the Texas Farm Workers Union. Mrs. Castillo's father was, in her own words, a struggler. In Mexico, he fought for agrarian reform and present rights. In that family tradition, Josefina Castillo continues the struggle.
La corren de volada. Como nos forzamos mucho a trabajar y sacamos muy poco dinero porque el... En las condiciones en que estamos ahorita, pues no nos pagan bien, no sacamos nada. Es que la condición del trabajo de nosotros, los trabajadores, entre más va más mal y más mal las condiciones. Como ahora que anduvimos en la naranja, pues no sacábamos nada, ni siquiera para el ¿cómo se dice? El transportación de los muebles de nosotros. Si sacábamos para la comida del carro, nosotros no sacábamos nada. No sacábamos nada. Así es de que era mucho el batallar y ha sido todo el tiempo.
Mrs. Castillo believes she's been exploited along with other farm workers. She told us in Spanish that in the citrus industry, farm workers get paid $22 for picking 150-pound bags of oranges. On the average, they fill 5 bags per hour, so it takes them 20 hours to fill 100 bags. At that rate, farm workers make $1.10 per hour. But Mrs. Castillo points out that sometimes employers overhire, and this cuts down the amount of hours available for each worker. At best, workers can count on 2 to 3 hours of work per day, at $1.10 an hour. Union organizer Alfredo de Avila was asked about the surplus of farm workers.
The total amount of labor force that is available to agriculture is over 100,000 workers in the valley, and another 20,000 workers that will be coming from the border towns along the Mexican side, both as what we call green carters or resident aliens, or as undocumented that work within in the border area of Texas.
Now, how many jobs are available?
At the peak of the season, and this includes everything, all the vegetables, citrus, everything that is out there, including the packing sheds that are doing the packing and the harvesting of the goods, you're talking about a total of 38,000 jobs at the peak of the season.
Mm-hmm. So how would the Texas Farm Workers Union deal with that discrepancy of 100,000 workers that are available and 38,000 jobs?
Well, what we're trying to do is to secure some type of employment for our membership and for the workers. And one of the theories that the union has been talking about is the fact that through a union contract, through the question of job security and job safety, mainly job security, that therefore it means that the jobs would be guaranteed to the people, that they'd have a guaranteed, employment. One of the demands in the strike, of course, was an 8-hour day. Citrus workers work an average of 2 to 3 hours a day, 4 to the max, which is insufficient for them to provide with their families. The other thing that we were talking about is a simple reality is that we'd have more members and more workers and jobs. But what needs to be looked at is the fact that at least every family have a job, that at least the head of the household has an opportunity to work. And, of course, this could be done through the process of working jointly with the companies and through the union to ensure that at least every family has a job during the period of time that they're here in the valley.
So of this 100,000 workers, we're including, whole families or several members of a family, is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, when you talk about 100,000 workers, you're talking about all those that are available labor force. That includes means men, women, and older children. So what we're talking about is a family can be made up to 2 to 3 workforce. So you can cut that number down to about 30,000 individual families that are involved in agriculture.
Alfredo de Avila. Yet according to Mrs. Castillo, the working conditions are deplorable. One day I could not work because my face was so swollen that my eyes were shut. I went to the doctor, and he said it was because of the poison, Castillo says. Sometimes the poison is so strong that you come out of the fields with your eyelashes coated with thick yellow powder. The poison Mrs. Castillo is referring to is the pesticides used in the fields. And she also complained about the old wooden ladders that farm workers climb to pick the fruit. Castillo says that some ladders are rotten. When the ladders break from underneath a worker, he or she falls several feet. For the older men and women, the fall is tragic. They're paralyzed, they can't work, and without company insurance, who feeds their families, she says.
Si accidenta una gente, nomás la mandan para la casa. Dice, si accidentó bastante, el mismo troquero o el filmen lo manda para el doctor. Va y le deja la puerta del doctor, y de ahí ya no saben de él. Si el doctor le cobró, si el doctor lo quiso atender, si no lo quiso atender, ellos ya no supieron nada. Ni saben de ellos, ni ya no se vuelven a parar, hasta que el mismo trabajador se alivió, va otra vez a ver los que le den trabajo. Y si queda balde, pues ya no lo vuelven a ver, porque ya no pudo trabajo, y ya no pudo trabajar, ya no lo van a ver a su casa. ¿Para qué? Pues ya no les va a dar servicio. Eso es lo que tiene el trabajador, que no tiene ningún beneficio.
De médico ni nada.
De médico.
De los sanitarios, entonces no tienen allá.
No.
¿So tienen que esperar hasta que terminen el trabajo?
Pues sí, a las 5, 6, 7 horas, según lo que haya el trabajo, es la hora que se tiene.
¿Y por agua también?
Un agua más cochina que nada, un agua que nos traen unos botes. Hay troqueros muy murosos que no, ni siquiera le tiraban el agua cuando lo vacían al bote, solo que de un día para otro, ahí mismo lo vuelven a echar.
Witnessing such tragic experiences forces women like Mrs. Castillo to continue the struggle. I have come to fight for this cause, she says, because I want my children to have a future. I am old, and if I don't reap the benefits of this cause, my sons and daughters will.
Que quiero que mis hijos sean en su futuro unos buenos luchadores, que sean los que van a ganar esto que yo ando peleando, porque pues quizás yo ya no llegue a mirarlo, pero ellos sí lo van a lograr.
At this time, the Texas Farmworkers Union is waging a boycott against one citrus industry. Alfredo de Avila explains.
The boycott was called by the farmworkers in view of the fact that we had had a strike in the citrus industry which had lasted 6 weeks, and with the realization that the industry we were striking was not interested in sitting down to negotiate with the workers and on the issue of the rights. In view of the fact of the sacrifice that the workers were making, and the continuing sacrifice that they'd have to continue to make against an industry which is a very difficult one for farmworkers to gain any type of demands on. The farmworkers voted to turn around and to change the tactics instead of striking to switch to the tactic of a boycott. The reason being is that we're very much aware that in order to put pressure upon this industry that's employing them, the farmworkers by themselves cannot bring enough pressure to bear. We need really the support of the public. The public can make a decision, and the boycott is more in the terms of kind of like the issue of voting. We're asking people to vote to take sides. It's really a question of saying, you know, since we have no legislation, we don't have the legislation that would provide farmworkers the right to freely join a union, to sit down and negotiate with their employers. What we're asking the public to do is to take a side on this issue. Since the legislature won't do it because of its own political internal fights, then we're asking the public of Texas to turn around and to support us. We're asking those people that want to support the farmworkers can do it in one very simple and concrete fashion, and that's simply by not buying any Texan orange or grapefruit juice, both frozen and fresh and canned.
Tell me, could you talk specifically about some of the demands of the farmworkers?
The demands of the farmworkers were, one, that the company recognize the union and sit down and negotiate in good faith. We were demanding that the company renegotiate the piece rate which is being paid to the farm workers. The present rate was sitting between 20 to 22 cents a sack. This is a 60-pound sack of citrus. We were asking the company to sit down and negotiate a new rate. The demands of the workers would they be paid 60 cents, which is an increase to the public if the public's interested on a can of orange juice. The increase to the public would have been 1.5 cents per can of orange juice. And this increase would have covered everything, not just the wages, but working conditions, workman's compensation, the whole thing. And the demands was that the company sit down and negotiate, deal with the question of wages, an accident insurance on the job, which that does not exist, citrus industry is very dangerous. A lot of accidents take place. The people are working on ladders in the trees. And the, one of the issues the farm workers had, which was very important to them, was aluminum ladders. Simple issue of that for job safety, because the ladders they use are wooden ladders. They're very dangerous. They're very heavy. Some are very old. And there's a lot of accidents become because of them. And we were demanding the company pay, of course, you know, workman's compensation, which is accident insurance, and of course a health insurance plan for the worker and his family. It's the most difficult strike that we've ever encountered. We find ourselves battling an industry that is the most difficult to put pressure on. Citrus is a crop that can stay in the tree 6 months with no loss. Farm workers cannot stay out of work for 6 months without a drastic loss. It's their only survival. And so we find ourselves battling probably the most difficult industry that we've ever fought on. The most difficult where even where you would say a traditional strike gives the worker, you know, economic leverage against his employer. In our case, the company just simply sat back and waited us out.
Mm-hmm. So you're not striking. It's a boycott. I want to get that clear.
We are striking. A lot of the farm workers that have struck have pledged not to return to the citrus harvest for this year. And we have thousands of families that have not returned to work in the citrus harvest. But the emphasis shifted from the picket lines, you know, in front of the fields and at the orchards and at the packing sheds to the public. Because we're aware that, you know, that it is only through that type of pressure we're going to be able to bring any pressure on the industry. Texon has a 3-year supply of concentrate orange juice in hand, in stock today, which means if there's not an orange harvested this season, because whether it be strikes or an act of nature, an act of God, they will not suffer. They have 3 years of concentrate sitting there. They will continue producing at peak effort. Therefore, you know, the pressure there has to come from someplace else, and it can only come from the public. And we're convinced that if Texon, that if 1 out of every 10 customers that buy orange juice, Texon orange juice, simply turn around and stop buying it, I think we'll see them come and sit down and negotiating. That's all we're talking about. It's a simple issue of, you know, of some people making a decision to support this effort.
TFW union organizer Alfredo de Avila. At the time of this program's production, the outcome of House Bill 145, which would give farm workers collective bargaining rights, remains in the hands of Texas legislators. But some analysts say that in a conservative anti-union state, the chances for the passage of HB 145 are slim. Many Texas legislators are also into agribusiness, and the fact that other legislators are allied with agribusiness interests further impedes passage of a pro-union law. Even though farm workers in Texas have twice been unsuccessful in passing collective bargaining legislation, they're not giving up. As young Thomas Gonzalez says, they'll continue fighting.
Tell me, when will you stop, like, struggling or organizing with the farm workers? What has to happen before you think that, you know, the battle is won?
Well, wages for one thing, and you know, que nos aseguren suficientes horas para trabajar y el mínimo de la, you know, minimum wage.
Guests for this week's program were Alfredo de Avila, TFW union organizer, Josefina Castillo, a farm worker from the valley, TFW head Antonio Rendain, and farm worker Tomas Gonzalez. Technical producer was Mary Sullivan. Thank you for joining me this week. For the Mexican-American Experience, I'm Linda Fregoso.
You've been listening to The Mexican-American Experience, a series of weekly programs focusing on the second largest minority in the United States, the Chicano. Comments are welcome, and copies of this program are available and may be obtained by writing The Mexican-American Experience, Communication Center, the University of Texas at Austin, 78712. This program is distributed by the Communication Center at UT Austin and does not necessarily reflect the views of the Communication Center staff or the University of Texas at Austin. This is the Longhorn Radio Network.